Another aspect of the timing for Ittai was that he was new to David. You look there at verse 20, whereas thou camest but yesterday. He was the new kid on the block. He was the new disciple. He was the new convert. Somehow when David was living there amongst the Philistines, you remember the time when he fiend himself mad and was taken in by the king of Gath? David did a bit of evangelizing. And Gittite became a follower of David. But not only David, David's God. And he became now a firm, fervent disciple of the Lord Jesus.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, and I trust the Lord will bless you today through His Word as we come to the message from the pulpit of our Free Presbyterian Church. And today's testimony is from Enrique Fernandez, another Roman Catholic converted to Christ through the power of the Word of God. But firstly, 2 Samuel 15 on loyalty treasured.
I want you to see firstly that his loyalty was voluntary. And that, of course, makes it great loyalty, true loyalty. Now, David was a wise leader. There was no compulsion here. There was no pressure. Indeed, he went the other way. He was testing Ittai. And he was saying to him, go back. Go back to the king. Go back to Absalom. Serve with him. And in that, he gave opportunity for Ittai to declare the extent, the motivation, the genuineness of his own loyalty. Now in verse 19, you will see how David argued against this. Then said the king to Ittai the Gittite, wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger. You're not even an Israelite. You're not even one of the natural born people of Judah or Israel. You're a Philistine. Why would you enter into this with me? He had a good point, hadn't he? And he pressed that. He also referred to Ittai as one in exile, an outsider. One had really no part or business in this affair. But Ittai rejected that as well. He referred to his place where he was safe and sure of support. What could he be sure of with David? David could give him no guarantees. He was just trusting the Lord. He was just going out into the wilderness to wait and see what God would do. But Ittai pressed on. Voluntary discipleship is really the only kind that counts. I think David was wise not to press him. David was wise to test him. And those who will serve the Lord, well, you must not be hounded to church just because of parents or the pastor or the fear of a phone call of saying, why are you not in church? No, we serve the Lord freely, voluntarily, out of a glad heart. Our commitment is with Christ, whatever the cost, whatever the odds. And what a test this is of our discipleship. Why are you here tonight? Why do you want to come under the preaching of God's Word? Why do you want to be equipped to be a Christian and a disciple of the Lord Jesus? Church life is not to be driven, but to be a delight and to rejoice your own heart. And our religion is not one of fear, but of faith, where we trust and obey the Lord, waiting to see what we will do. Mr. Spurgeon said that a man's best friends are his own two arms. We ought to have an independent spirit as a Christian, not depending on others, not waiting till others to make the plunge or the step, but willing to serve God with all our being and with all our heart. So there you see that his loyalty was voluntary. And that gives you the real test of the man. And if your service for Christ is your service, because you must be constrained by the Lord, then we rejoice. His loyalty was also genuine. I say this because he was being tested by the times. David's fortunes were going out. He was leaving his palace, his position as the rightful leader of the kingdom. His whole future was on the line, and he was filled with uncertainty. And he was about to cross this brook Kidron. If you go down to the last verse we read, verse 23, that when they left Jerusalem, went out into the wilderness, that they crossed over this brook Kidron. Verse 23, the king also himself passed over the brook Kidron. All the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness. That valley adjoining the city, between it and the Mount of Olives, is the place of excrement. It is the place where the offal of the sacrifices from the temple are thrown out, where the blood after it is defiled is cast into that valley of Kidron. All the refuge of the city, it was a stench. Kidron means black. It was a vile, foul place to enter through. And in a marvel of biblical typology, where you have David pictured aligned with the greater David, our Lord Jesus, the scripture tells us very carefully that David went through this valley of Kidron, but our Lord Jesus also went through that valley of Kidron. You will read of it in John 18, and it's spelt with a C rather than a K because of translation and into the English and so on. But it's the same valley. Why did David have to go through that valley? Why was he going through that in his humiliation, weeping and fleeing? Because of his transgressions, because of his sin. And this was the cause of a dark, vile day for David. He had sinned. And this was now the humiliation attached to his sin. When our Lord Jesus went through that valley of Kidron, it was not for his sin, but for ours. And he went through that place where the temple refuse was cast out, where the work of atoning for transgressions was left. And our Lord Jesus, in his humiliation, rejected by men, soon to be taken to the cross, went through this valley in humiliation. And it was then that Ittai the Gittite attached himself to David. Who do we attach ourselves to? It is our Lord Jesus, even in his humiliation. You see, the world sees no beauty, no glory in him. They see a cross. They see blood. They see defeat. They see the poverty of the Savior. They do not see his glory after his resurrection. And we are called as Christians to attach ourselves to Christ in his humiliation, in his sufferings. And that marks our loyalty. If our Lord was now reigning as king and we were on the throne with him, there would be no test. But this is the test of genuineness. Another aspect of the timing for Ittai was that he was new to David. You look there at verse 20, whereas thou camest but yesterday. He was the new kid on the block. He was the new disciple. He was the new convert. Somehow when David was living there amongst the Philistines, you remember the time when he fiend himself mad and was taken in by the king of Gath? David did a bit of evangelizing. And Gittite became a follower of David. But not only David, David's God. And he became now a firm, fervent disciple of the Lord Jesus. And David said to him, "You can't follow me. You're too young, too new in the faith. You can't stand this." But Ittai said, "No. I'm going to be with you wherever you go." What a message to any young convert here tonight. You don't have to be old and gray-headed to serve the Lord. You can be a new disciple. You can be newly converted. You can be a young person zealous in the gospel and serve the Lord Jesus all your days. And though David said to Ittai, "Go back," I would not say to you, "Go back," but I would say to you, take the model of Ittai and serve the Lord with all the energy and zeal you have, and all the days that you have. It was also tested in his confidence in David's reign. There's a little statement here in verse 21, "As the Lord liveth, and as my Lord the King liveth." You see, Ittai did not believe that David's day was over. He did not believe that he was going to be brought to an end. He believed he was still king. This was the battle. Absalom wanted to be king. It seemed he was getting the upper hand. David was moving out. But Ittai believed David was God's man. And he attached himself to David no matter how things appeared. How could he do that? How did he get that conviction? Because it also says in verse 21, as the Lord liveth. And here you have this Philistine, this man of Gath, using the name Jehovah. That translation with uppercase L-O-R-D, that is Jehovah. And what a miracle. A miracle of faith, a miracle of regeneration. A man who was an idolater, he is now saying, by the living Jehovah. And when he knows the Lord's on the throne, he believes that there's still a future for David. And he trusts in him. So, fellow Christian, what do you think of the state of the church today? What do you think of the cause of the Lord Jesus in Canada today? Do you think it's over? Do you say there's no more point in praying and witnessing and evangelizing? There's no point in being a fundamental Orthodox church, holding to the scriptures and fighting the battle of faith? May God give us the faith of this Gittite, this ex-Philistine, this new convert to Israel, this man who believed not only in David, but in David's God. And that's where our confidence will come. And that will be the basis of our loyalty when we give ourselves to the service of the Lord. Now, moving on to one more point here, and that is that David's loyalty had real meaning. What did it mean to follow David? What did he have to do? What did it look like in real terms? Well, in verse 21, he says to him, as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be. You can see that this was not mere lip service. He didn't say, well, David, you go on out into the wilderness and we'll pray for you. Oh, no. He didn't say, you go on out and stand out there alone and we'll think about you. No, Ittai was going to be with him wherever he went, in life or in death. People may talk about their support, their moral support, their verbal support, their practical support, but the best of all support is their presence. To be in the battle, to be alongside, to be showing and identifying and declaring yourself with the people of God and the truth of God. Now, we've seen what it's like for Ittai. What's it going to be like for a Christian to be loyal to Christ? Well, as Ittai said, wherever you go, David, I'm going to be there. I'll be alongside you. How do we do that as Christians? Where is the Lord to be found? Well, the Lord is found in his church. Wherever there is the banner of the gospel and two or three gather together in Jesus' name, there is the Lord in the midst of them. And so we will be there in his church. In baptism, the Lord calls us to identify ourselves with him, and that he proves that that baptism will be a means of blessing us and using us. And so we will not shirk that. The communion table, God meets with his people around the ordained means of remembering Calvary. Will you be there? Or will you say, no, you go on and do it and I'll think about you? No, God wants you there. If you're going to be loyal, you want to be there in the midst. Then there's the prayer meeting, when God's people are gathering to pray and to plead the blessing of God and pray against the kingdom of darkness. You want to be there where God's people meet, praying down God's blessing. You want to be in the midst, joining your voice, joining your heart, letting people know that you're in the same battle. Christ is where the truth is, and we ought to be wherever the truth is being defended. We could go on and talk about evangelism, the ministry of comfort for the saints. Where the Lord is, God's people want to be. That's the spirit of Ittai, and that ought to be the spirit of the born-again Christian. And of course, we can say tonight, Christ is in heaven, and that's where we want to be. That's the end goal of this battle. I will not go back. I will not serve a rebel. I will not serve an antichrist. I will serve the true Christ because my goal is to be with Christ and to enjoy His glory and His presence for all eternity. One more thing about Ittai. Not only would he be with David, but you'll find there in the verse 22 that he would go before David. And David said to Ittai, "Go, pass over." And Ittai the Gittite passed over. He didn't even wait to walk in David's footsteps. He went as a scout soldier, as one who would take his troops to guard the way and going before the king. What an act of good faith. It was an honor, but it was also a test. Ittai, you say you're loyal, then go you on before me. Surely the Lord asks us at times to step out, even in unsure paths, and to prove that our trust is in the Lord only. Some will only serve the Lord when the Lord gives the evidence first. That's not faith. Some want to know the end from the beginning, but that's not faith. But Ittai went out in front of David. Maybe you're being called tonight to step out, serve the Lord, do it in faith. And that will be a great test of your loyalty and obedience to Christ. So what have we learned tonight? Well, loyalty is a most precious thing in any child of God. There will be those who will disappoint us. There will be Ahithophels. There will be Absaloms. They will not be there when they're most needed. They may even oppose the work of God. But God does raise up faithful men. There could be no church if He didn't. To whom would we preach if God did not raise up faithful worshipers, attendees, and prayer warriors? How could we hold a prayer meeting if the Lord didn't call faithful men and women? God does raise up men, and we need to pray that God will make us loyal in heart, true to the cause. Pray that God will give you loyal friends. One of the greatest things that God can give you is a loyal wife or husband, one who will be by your side at all times and who will be that strength in the Christian life. Faithful worshipers, faithful church members, maybe a close friend to whom you can open your heart. And there is one. His name is Jesus. He's the one who will never fail you. What a friend we have in Jesus. He will be by your side. Others may leave, but He'll be there. And if your discipleship and loyalty is to Christ, He will see you through to the end. And that's the friend you and I need tonight. We can take our burdens. We can weep to Him. That's what David did. He went over that Kidron weeping, tears to his Lord. And there's times that there's nothing else we can do. Just take it to the Lord. Just take it to the Lord and wait and see what He will do. That's the friend of all friends. What a friend we have in Jesus. And may this week you find the comfort, the grace in just leaning and resting in the sufficiency and the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ, our wonderful Lord and Savior. I hope you are leaning on Him and trusting in Him more and more. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, and we're coming to this final testimony, at least final in this series. There are many more in the book, Far From Rome, Near to God. But this is our last one for the week or month of Reformation season is now over. And we're just going to read this final testimony of Enrique Fernandez. I discovered the Word of God. Born in Madrid to devout parents in 1929, I studied in the Metropolitan Seminary of Oviedo for 12 years. I was ordained on 30th of May, 1954. I then became a Roman Catholic chaplain in a convent of nuns in Navaglas, a tranquil village in Asturias, Spain. In the evenings, I usually visited the village priest,
an older man who was companionable and friendly. One night in 1960, he showed me a pamphlet entitled The Gift, an excerpt from the autobiographical writings of the former Canadian priest, Charles Chiniquy. I asked permission to borrow it and read it. The pamphlet created an intense desire to read the Bible. I wanted to know if there was a real difference between the Roman Catholic and Protestant Bibles. Withholding my identity, I wrote to the address on the pamphlet requesting a Bible or a New Testament. I began to study the New Testament, especially Acts and Hebrews. As I did, a conviction grew that the Roman Catholic Church had deviated from the Bible and that its priesthood had usurped Christ's place. The discovery of the Word of God became a thrilling adventure for me. As I continued reading, I felt the cutting reality of Hebrews 4:12. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. During my 4 years of theological studies, I had never seriously read the Bible. For me, the Holy Scriptures were only consulted as a reference book in the study of Roman Catholic dogma. I knew only those parts of the Bible which were included in the Mass and in the texts of the Roman Breviary. Salvation, the Roman Catholic Church said, depended on absolution from sins by a priest, and whoever refused to confess his mortal sins to a priest was eternally condemned. But I could not find in Acts or in any other New Testament book any statement that this was so. All the sacred writers insisted that man must go directly to God for forgiveness. On the other hand, in Hebrews I read very clearly that Christ had been offered once for all for the sinner. Then I said, how dared the Council of Trent declare in 1562 that in the Mass Christ offers himself by the hands of the priest as a true and real sacrifice to God. I also found that justification was only by faith, and I asked myself whether, if I had not found peace of soul in the Roman Catholic Church, it could perhaps be because I had expected to gain it as a reward of my own efforts. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. That's what the Bible teaches in Romans chapter 4, verse 5. In such a manner, I suddenly understood that Jesus Christ asked nothing of me, and I relinquished all my effort to gain salvation. So, Jesus Christ became my only Lord and Savior. Through the Spanish Evangelical Mission in the Netherlands, I was put in touch with a former Spanish priest of the Roman Catholic Church who directed me to the Dutch Foundation in Straight Street. This Christian organization had for several years been helping priests who left the Roman Catholic Church to understand the principles of the 16th century Reformation and return to the doctrines of the Bible. On May 2, 1961, I arrived in Brussels. Later I went to Hilversum, Holland. Then I sent a letter to my archbishop telling him, I have discovered the Word of God, and Jesus Christ has presented himself to me as my only Lord and Savior. Rome claims that Catholicism is centered in Christ, but in reality, it has turned its back on him. Afterwards, I went to San Jose, Costa Rica, where I received, on November 25, 1963, a Bachelor of Theology degree in the Latin American Theological Seminary. Finally, I spent several months in Guatemala in consultation with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod before coming to the United States, where I have been preaching the gospel since June 1, 1964, to the Spanish-speaking people. My fervent desire is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, to carry the gospel of grace to the people, and to tell them what great things the Lord has done for me. What He has done for me, He can do for them, and He can do for you. This is the salvation testimony of Enrique Fernandez, converted to Christ from the Roman priesthood. And this record is in the book Far From Rome, Near to God, Testimonies of 50 Converted Roman Catholic Priests. And this book is available through Banner of Truth Trust. If you want further information, you go to our website, give me a call, send me an email. And remember that we need to pray for Roman Catholic people. They need God's salvation. They need to be saved and can be saved through the one death of the Lord Jesus by faith in Him alone. And so let us all be faithful in prayer, remembering to love those that need the gospel and those that are in need of God's so great salvation. Perhaps you are inquiring the way of salvation. Perhaps you have been looking to the church, to the priest, to Mary, to the saints, and you realize your heart is empty. You realize your heart is really not satisfied with these things, and there is a great void. Well, I assure you that the Lord Jesus can fill your heart. And when you turn to Him by faith, you can be saved. So I would recommend that you go to the Bible, that you look up those great texts of the gospel, such as Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Or 1 John 1, 9, that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And again, if I can be of personal help, I'll be glad to talk with you one-to-one. Give me a call here or send me an email. We also have the booklet, A New Beginning, which would be a great help to any that are seeking to know the way of God's salvation. Thank you for being a part of this program today. And of course, we invite you to join with us each and every day here on this station as we let the Bible speak. Now we're turning to our closing announcements. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher. Thank you for joining with us on the program today. I want to just let you know about special meetings here in our church over these next weeks when I will be preaching on the 5 points of Calvinism. This is known as TULIP. T stands for total depravity, U for unconditional election, L for limited atonement, I for irresistible grace, and P for perseverance of the saints. This is historic doctrine that has made the difference in the Church of the Lord Jesus, and it is a great defense of the gospel to understand how lost sinners are marvelously saved by God's amazing grace. And so we invite you to the morning services here at our church, 10:30 Sunday mornings, through this month of November into December for this series of services on the TULIP theology. And we invite you along. And of course, all the details concerning our church location, church times, 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:30 for morning service, 6 p.m. for evening service, you would be welcome to join with us. We invite you to come. You can also join us by webcast on your computer. Go to www.cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you will be able to find all the details concerning our church. If you're in the Victoria area, we have a church there as well. They meet at 11 and 6 at 733 Van Alman Avenue. Give us a call. Look up the website. This is Ian Gallagher, 604-576-1091. Join us again on Let the Bible Speak, Monday to Friday, 5 and 5.